Sit back, relax, and open that mind. You are now tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
There may be truth to the rumor that time is speeding up, because it seems like just yesterday we had the latest show of the Paranormal Patriot, but now another week has come and gone, and another week is upon us. You are now tuned in to one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts out in podcast land. Yes, you are now tuned into the Paranormal Patriot. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez, your gracious host. So glad you could join me this week. Now on this show, we are going to finish the 25 cryptids of each state. We did the first 25 last week. We're going to finish it off this week. Of course, because I talked about the DNC last week, I'm going to talk about the Republican National Convention. I couldn't do it. I got to talk about Kenosha, Wisconsin, because that is this may be a tipping point in what is going on in America. So we are definitely going to talk real quick about Kenosha, Wisconsin. Then I'm going to talk to you about a strange sighting I had in the sky this past Friday. My daughter and I saw something. I thought I knew what it was. Well, apparently that wasn't what it was, and it leads to only one other speculative sighting. We're going to go over that. But the RNC, last week I talked to you about the DNC and what I thought about it, how it was a telethon, because, you know, I played for you the John Kerry speech that if you agree with what I'm saying, text da-da-da to your support. And it was like a Jerry Lewis telethon. And the looking at the RNC and looking at the DNC, and you listen, you have to be an open-minded observer on this. But this is how it is. The DNC was all doom and gloom. You had a Michelle Obama, my Belle Michelle, Michael, whatever you want to call her. You got her over there saying, listen, if you don't vote Joe Biden, you're going to get these riots and more. It was almost like a threat. And that was the whole premise of the whole DNC, was how bad it is, how horrible America is. You know, John Kerry's out there saying that we're the laughingstock of the world, which is an absolute joke. We are now respected again in this world. But you go to the RNC, the Republican National Convention, and there is a vast, and I mean a wide difference in message between the Republicans and the Democrats. Again, the Democrats are all doom and gloom. Everything sucks. America's horrible. If you want this to continue, you have to vote for Trump. If you want utopia where everything's given to you and the riots and coronavirus all of a sudden stops November 4th, well, you vote for Joe Biden. The Republicans, on the other hand, they have a message of hope. They have a message of solidarity. I heard a lot of people talk about how, oh my gosh, look at how many black people. Those are token black people. And I think that word was uttered on CNN, token, especially when they were talking about Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker has known Donald Trump for 37 years. Actually, Donald Trump owned the New Jersey Generals, the United States Football League team that drafted Herschel Walker. He has known Donald Trump for 37 years, and he made a poignant statement when he said, I am offended, and I'm paraphrasing this, but I'm offended for those who think I would spend 37 of my years of my life surrounded by a racist, being friends with a racist. He is not a racist. And that struck a nerve with people, unless you're CNN, who called him a token. And that's what they were calling all of these people. Tim Scott. Tim Scott is an up-and-comer in the Republican Party. This man is garnering respect, not just among the Republican Party, but with black people around the country. They see a man who grew up from nothing and rose to the top. He is an up-and-comer. You had Kim, I think her name is Clackick, something like that, from Baltimore. Do you realize in Baltimore there are more black Republicans running for office than anywhere in the country? Baltimore is a shell of a city. There's rampant crime, rampant murders, rampant poverty, and rampant corruption. And it has been run by Democrats for decades. And you're starting to see a trend. The black population of this country is slowly starting to realize that the Republicans might be the choice. They are going to give us the best opportunity. They're going to give us the best opportunity to make a better life for ourselves. The Democratic Party will give us the best opportunity to live right on the edge of poverty, because we'll get just what we need from the Democratic Party. The Republican Party, yes, we may have to work for it. However, listen, I don't know many, if any, black people that are opposed to working. Most black people I know, if not all of them, are very hard workers that will, if given the opportunity, work hard to make a better life. But with the Democratic Party, that you don't have that opportunity, because you have a generational welfare where you might have four generations of people in a house that are living on welfare because that's how they were grown up. That's what they were taught. It's time to stop teaching the minorities of this country that it's okay to just live right on the edge of the line between poverty. It's time to teach the minorities in this country and everybody. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, any minority, any race, it doesn't matter. It's time to teach people, listen, you go to school, you do work, if you work hard and you do the right thing, you will be rewarded. It's as simple as that, but the Democrats don't want you to hear that. There is just an upbeat, absolute upbeat meaning and message coming from the Republicans as opposed to the downbeat doom and gloom of the Democrats. Now, Bette Midler got into a little bit of a controversy because when Melania Trump was up there speaking, and she was very eloquent and had a phenomenal speech. Now, you know, I'll call it like it is. Joe Biden's wife, did the same thing. She gave a very, very good speech. Melania Trump, however, was ridiculed by the press. And Bette Midler was lambasted on social media because of her tweet. And her tweet said, oh my gosh, she still can't speak English. Now, here's my thoughts on that. What a bitch. You have nothing better to do with yourself than to mock somebody's accent. They weren't born in this country. But more importantly, and I may be wrong on this, and if I'm wrong, I'm on the low side. Melania Trump can speak at least five different languages. Bette Midler, how many can you speak? I know of two. One is English and one is just bullshit. That's the only languages you speak that I know of. Melania Trump has more class in her little finger than you do in your whole body. And good for you, social media, for getting all over Bette Midler because she had the audacity to say, oh, she can't even speak English. This is coming from the same person that would allow millions and millions of illegal immigrants who have no idea one word of English into this country. But you can't have the First Lady up there talking in her accent because she's from an Eastern European country. You can't have her do that. That's just not acceptable. And this is why people are losing faith and losing. I mean, they realize Hollywood is so out of touch. They are just, they'll say everything, anything they can to make Trump and his cohorts look bad. And people are starting to realize that. the biggest takeaway I had from the RNC was it, and I hate these conventions. Let me just put that out there. This was not a telethon like the Democrats. But I hate the fact that you have pre-recorded speeches. It to me, it loses a lot of oomph, and it loses a lot of credibility. I don't know why it would be so hard to have Melania Trump, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, anybody go up there live and give a speech. That, to me, brings a lot more credibility to that speech. How many times did Joe Biden have to do his speech? How many times did AOC have to do her speech? Just to get it perfect, to get those enunciations just right. To me, just do it live. Be yourself. But there was a huge difference. The RNC was all about hope. It's all about unity. It's all about the good things that America does and what we can do in the future. Where the Democrats were all about, we're screwed if you vote for Donald Trump. If you vote for Donald Trump, the country's gone. We are doom and gloom. It was all about that, and it was frustrating. People are starting to see that. I know of a few, and I've listened to C-SPAN. I've listened to radio shows where, and of course, these may be staged. I can't say for certain, but there are a lot of quote-unquote lifelong Democrats that are just done because during the Democratic National Convention, every Democrat up there had the ability and had the opportunity to condemn the riots and the lawlessness that is going on across this country. I don't think there was one Democrat that condemned that. And people are seeing that. People are seeing that, and people are saying, that's basically telling me that they are condoning it. They're not condemning, they're condoning it. This is a backfiring strategy for the Democrats. You don't see anybody out there. Listen, Democrats put themselves in this situation because of BLM and Antifa. They just let them go because they need their votes. But the majority of Americans are looking at this going, why are the Democrats allowing this to happen? Why are the governors of these states, Oregon, Minnesota, Georgia, Washington, why are they allowing this to happen? Why are the mayors of those cities not calling out these protesters? Here's one thing. They're all Democrats, and they need their votes. They want their votes. They want those Black Lives Matter votes. They want those Antifa votes. But they don't realize that people don't want that. You know, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, it is a virtual war zone out there. They don't realize, and I've seen quotes, and I'm assuming they're true. I've seen videos where I know it's true that they said this, but they said, yep, we're going to the suburbs next. You in the suburbs, be ready. And this is BLM and Antifa talking. They don't know what they're getting into. This is getting, at this point, this is getting scary because you start moving into suburbia, middle America, into the rural areas of the country, these people aren't going to hold back. If you start threatening their lives, their family, and their property, these people have guns. We saw what happened with the 17-year-old in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Now, you may not know that this 17-year-old was being assaulted. He was being pulled. He had an unlit Molotov cocktail thrown at him. Unlit. It doesn't matter. All somebody has to do is throw a match on it. He's gone. He had skateboards pounded on him. He had a mob coming at him and pulled him to the ground. This 17-year-old boy, I guess it would be, 17-year-old young adult, was brandishing and carrying around an AR-15, I believe it was. Now, in Wisconsin, he was not breaking the law. It is an open carry. Was he provoking them? Yes, he was. I'm sure he was. Did he deserve that? No. However, at this point, when he's getting assaulted by skateboards, he's got a mob of people kicking him and hitting him while he's on the ground. He comes up and starts firing that AR weapon. He kills two people, and I think he injured one. And now he's being arrested and charged with first-degree murder. Here's the thing. How many of you have seen the video? Because the video is now gone. You can't find that video anymore. The media has silenced this video because they know if the general public sees this video, that changes. That changes the narrative of this video. Just like Nick Sandman. Remember him, the guy that was had the Indian in his face and the media portrayed him as smiling and being smug? Yeah, he showed up on the RNC. And what'd CNN say? Oh, he's a spoiled, snot-nosed, elite, white kid. Well, sure, I guess you could say that, but CNN, you lost a ton of money because you wouldn't report the truth as to what really happened. He didn't do anything. He stood there. A planted Indian Native American man was in his face provoking him, and he just stood there and smiled. But the media cut and paste. They chose what to show the world. And the same thing is happening in Kenosha, Wisconsin. They aren't going to show you that this 17-year-old was assaulted, that he had a Molotov cocktail thrown at him, that he was being hit with skateboards, that he had a mob pulling him to the ground. They're just going to show him shooting other people. And now he's being charged with first-degree murder. My question is, during the trial, is this going to come up? Because if this video resurfaces, CNN's not going to play it. Who's going to play it? I am really, truly scared for this child or this young man as to how much due process and innocent before proven guilty he's going to see. But let's talk about Kenosha. This all revolves around, I think his name is Jordan Blake, I think that's what it is, being shot 7 times while leaning into his car. Now, first off, do I think that this was a little bit excessive? Yeah, I do. 7 times, a little bit excessive. However, let's put this into perspective. As much as the media is telling you this man did not have a weapon, he had a knife. And side note, I just had a great conversation with Jay Miles the night before last, and he was telling me all about this knife he had. It is basically shaped like a claw, and its whole purpose is to slice and maim you and kill you. That's its whole purpose. There is video showing he had this knife in his hand. So you can throw out the media narrative that he was unarmed. Now, he walked over to his car, leaned in. Who knows what he was going to get there? Nobody knows. Was he getting a gun? Nobody knows. Now, if you are an officer of the law and you have a man that you see a claw-like knife whose sole purpose of that knife is to maim and kill you, in this gentleman's hand, and you see him leaning in his vehicle, at that point, you have a choice to make. Because all that guy has to do is grab a gun from underneath the seat of his car, turn around, and fire on the officer. That's all he has to do, and the officer's dead. Or the officer can fire on him. Now, here's where my problem is. 7 times, a little bit too much. Fire and drop him. I'm assuming once or twice and he's going to stop what he's doing. But again, adrenaline, I was not in that situation. And, you know, I have loved ones, family members, just all up in arms that, oh, this was police brutality. And it goes back to the most basic principle. If you have an officer telling you to sit down or stop or just follow orders, do it. This whole thing would never have happened if Jordan Blake, regardless of whether he was guilty or not, and I don't know the circumstances. I don't know what the police were really thinking. I don't know what Jordan Blake was thinking. But this would have never have got to this point if he would have followed orders. And this revolves around, and I've seen this meme on Facebook or this post on Facebook. You know, we are trying to teach officers we're trying to retrain them. Well, why are we not training our kids how to respect the law? How are we not teaching them, listen, when an officer tells you to do something, you do it. It amazes me how many people don't realize if you are cordial, if you are polite, and you listen and adhere to the officer's commands, that will never happen. Never happen. Especially nowadays when officers are required to wear body cams. It will never, ever happen. The only time stupid stuff like this happens is when you resist arrest. Why he did it, I don't know. I don't know. He's apparently paralyzed. Sorry about your luck. However, to all the people stating that this is another form of police brutality. Gosh, I can't even say that. Police brutality. And it never should have happened like that. You know what? You're absolutely right. It never should have happened like that, because if he would have just listened, complied, never would have got to that point. If by chance you get arrested for something you didn't do, let the courts sort it out. I know it's a pain in the behind, but it sure beats ending up dead or paralyzed. And now Kenosha, Wisconsin is a burning wreck. I saw pictures of a CNN broadcast of the reporter standing behind burning, and I mean they look like the wildfires in Colorado, burning buildings behind, and the headline on the bottom of the screen was, "Fiery protests mostly peaceful." They're trying to change the narrative. They're trying to make these protesters, I shouldn't even call them protesters, these rioters look like they're peaceful protesters that are just trying to make a point. That's not the case. You can make a point without burning, killing, looting, damaging property. You just can. As a matter of fact, the way it stands in America right now, you bring your point home more by being peaceful as opposed to looting, burning, damaging property, and assaulting and killing people. People are tired of it. And the Democrats, you have painted yourself into a corner, because now what do? You condemn it. You've just condemned BLM, and you've just condemned Antifa, and you've just condemned everybody that was following along with you. If you don't condemn it, you have turned on 75% of America that does not want this. You have painted yourself into a corner. And it's the strategists of the DNC, I don't understand. It's like they don't think these things through. They think of something and say, "Hey, we should make them riot. And when they riot, we should stand behind them so we get their vote." Not thinking that the majority of Americans don't want riots in their country. You know, everybody's up in arms. Well, I shouldn't say everybody, but the Democrats are up in arms that they're sending the feds in. They're sending troops, National Guard, into these cities, into Kenosha, into Portland. Okay, why wouldn't I? This is America. You can't burn buildings. You can't take over federal buildings. You can't burn police precincts and think it's okay. Now, according to Kate Brown in Portland, Oregon, and the mayor of Portland, Oregon, that's fine. They're just expressing themselves. Well, no, you can't. And if the mayor and the governor of that state are not going to take charge, well, that's when the feds step in. And that's how it's supposed to work. Listen, the states are in control of what they do. But if it is a dangerous situation and the states aren't taking care of it, the feds are going to step in. And this whole Kenosha thing is just, it's another excuse to riot, to burn. We've gone into sports with this one. In the NBA playoffs, I don't know anybody here watching the NBA playoffs. No. The NBA playoffs, they have decided to cancel the games. The Milwaukee Bucks have stopped playing. I think Los Angeles Lakers said, "We're done. We're just not playing." And it's in response to this needless shooting of this innocent black man. Again, this is how out of touch these basketball, or sports in general, these sports players in general, that's how out of touch they are. Has anybody seen the ratings for the NBA playoffs? They are dismal. I really think 90 Day Fiancé has double the ratings of the NBA playoffs. And I watch 90 Day Fiancé any day of the week. Hockey, their ratings are through the roof. And you know why? It's because people are turned off by NASCAR. They're turned off by basketball. They're turned off by baseball. Because it's all about being politically correct. You have to stand for black lives. And listen, hockey's the same way, but hockey says black lives matter. Okay, I get that. Black lives matter. Okay, you gotta go in step. But instead of kneeling, those hockey players stood around the red face-off circle at center ice hand-in-hand during the national anthem. That is what Americans are looking for, and that's why basketball and baseball ratings are just in the tank. But granted, the hockey playoffs have been extremely exciting, but Americans are still patriotic, and they see that, and they're like, you know what? That's what I'm watching. I'm watching hockey. It's a scary time, and this is why I think no matter who wins this election, now if Trump wins the election, oh my gosh, this country is going to literally implode on itself. You are going to have these SJWs, Antifa, BLM, the Democrats are going to start impeachment process right then and there. And it's just, literally, I honestly think you will see a civil war. We're going to talk about that probably next show, what I think is going to happen next week. But it is, we are at a very dangerous time in this country. We are allowing anarchists to take over cities, portions of major cities in America, and nobody's talking about it. It's okay. It's okay. Let me know what you think about that. Kenosha, Wisconsin. Sean Ryan. That's what I wanted to get into before I stopped and went to a break. Sean Ryan, I don't know if you've been getting a hold of me. Everybody who's emailed me and I have not got back with you, it's not because I haven't wanted to. I've had phone problems all week. Apparently, my phone decides when and if it charges. And even if I got it on the charger, it decides to drop down. The last about week and a half, it shows I have 70, 80%, but it lasts about 5 minutes. Now my phone charges to 2%, and that's it. I just got a new phone tonight, so send me those emails, send me those messages, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Sean Ryan, I want to know how you're doing. I don't know how far close Kenosha, Wisconsin is to you, but keep me informed. I was thinking about you all week when I saw what was going on. Thinking about you. Appreciate everything you do. And if you have sent me anything, I did not get it. All my emails are gone. All my messages are gone. I don't have anything, and I can't figure out how to get it back. Let's see. What else we go? Oh, hey, 2020. As if 2020 wasn't bad enough, scientists have now determined that Jupiter is hurling asteroids towards Earth. So, you know, as if Earth wasn't already bad enough, we're apparently the laughing stock of the universe or the solar system, because Jupiter is just like the bully, the big bully out there, just hurling rocks at us. It's 2020. Really, does that surprise anybody at this point? You may have heard all the news outlets saying that there is an asteroid that is going to come dangerously close to Earth the day before the election. And I'm looking at this going, are you kidding me? Listen, I follow where these asteroids are. And what they're not telling you is this asteroid, this dangerously close asteroid, is 6 feet across. It is the size of me. It's actually smaller than me across. I'm taller than this asteroid is wide. There is no way. Even if it does come towards us, it's going to get disintegrated by our atmosphere. But the media in their fear porn, you got to watch out. There's an asteroid coming. It's coming right before Election Day. Maybe it's God's way of saving this country from Donald Trump. With a 6-foot asteroid that won't make it halfway through our atmosphere. I mean, this is ridiculous, everybody. Come on. We have to be above this. We have to be above the fear porn. We have to be able to learn and research and do what is right. We have to look at the news outlets and call them out for being the fear mongers they are. And listen, I'm a fear monger. I'll give you worst case scenario of everything when it means something, when it actually may happen. This ain't going to happen. There's no way this 6-foot asteroid, even if it comes into Earth's atmosphere, is going to survive. Just not going to happen. So why report it? Because they want to scare everybody. We'll blame it on Donald Trump, I'm sure. So lastly, before the break, this past Friday, my wife is, and for all of you who have sent me messages of hope and prayer for my wife, thank you. Keep them coming, just to give you an update. She's strong. She is strong. She is miserable. She's nauseous all the time after her therapy, after her radiation therapy. But she, you know, as she said, if I'm going to be miserable, I want to be miserable when I do something I love. And she loves camping. So she has been gone. She was gone last week camping. She's gone this week and will be gone next week camping. And you know what? She's strong. But my daughter and I were home because they were camping. It was just us two. And we went out and swam in the pool at night because it was really hot at night and the pool was perfect. We got out and we're just sitting in the lounger chairs, just talking, which was really nice because it's the first time I've really had a chance to have a just nice conversation with my daughter with everything going on with her and us, and it was a good time. But we're sitting there talking, and I see this, and again, I'm kind of colorblind. I'm red-green colorblind, but I think it was a greenish point of light, couple hundred feet in the air. And this thing, I can see it coming towards the house, and it is moving. And I'm like, hey, look, Randy's got his drone out, because we have a neighbor that has a drone, and every now and then he just plops it in our backyard, and we'll wave to him. You know, it's kind of like a thing we do, but it didn't come down in our backyard. It flew over us silently, and with this drone that Randy has, you can hear this thing coming a mile away because it has like six propellers, and this thing was silent. And as it's going over us, I can see it slowing down, and then I see it stop, and I'm like, yeah, that's got to be Randy's drone. So I pull out my phone, text Amy, hey, you got the drone over us? And right away, no, Randy and I are sitting right here. I'm like, odd. And this thing is hovering over us. Now, it's dark out, and I'm trying to adjust to the darkness and trying to get some light to try and see if I see a structure on here. There is no real structure. It is a bright, bright point of light. It is a couple hundred feet above us. And it just, all of a sudden, boom, it gone. It just accelerated, and I'm watching this thing go away, and it does a 180-degree back over us and goes whoosh, right over our head and then shoots up in the air and literally vanished. And I'm thinking to myself, that wasn't Randy's drone. That wasn't a drone. I don't know what that was. If it was a drone, it was not anything I'm aware of. It was a green point of light. And when I say this thing was hauling, I had a hard time following it. And think about that. All you got to do is turn your head and keep your eyes moving on the target. I had a hard time finding this thing because it was moving so fast. It was hovering over us, and then it went away and came back at us, and it just picked up speed like that. And then all of a sudden, it didn't just kind of gradually go up. It was going away from us, and then just like it hit a wall and bounced straight up. I have no idea what it is. Was it a UFO? Yes, because I cannot identify it. Was it an alien, extraterrestrial, interdimensional being? I don't know. Was it a drone? I don't know. But it was something that I cannot understand. Thought you'd like to hear that. So we're going to come back, and when we come back, we're going to finish the 25 states and the cryptids that inhabit those states. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back. Se croit à Goa, ambiance moite, ça sent la sueur et la MDMA. Rien d'idyllique, c'est le tango des robots sur son synthétique. L'un d'eux s'approche, me dit de façon magnifique.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
When you lose your time, you think it will be enough. In a cage of your life, someday it will make you love. I can't deny that I would find a way to fight. My innocence is my defense.
Alrighty, hey, if you like the bumper music on this show, contact me. I'll tell you who the band is. It's awesome music. I get it from Jamendo.com. If you're not a subscriber to Jamendo.com, by all means do so. Independent artists that are just putting out great music that you're not going to hear on the radio, and that's actually a good thing. So when I ended the show last week, I ended at number 25, the Missouri Momo Monster. So that means number 26, we're going to talk Montana, and I hope I don't screw this name up. It's the Shunka Warakin. Shunkawarakan. Okay. Now, the strange thing about the Shunkawarakan is when I was doing research on this cryptid, most of the articles had a disclaimer on there. And they said, hey, disclaimer, this monster is actually real. And I thought to myself, okay, are these other monsters not real? Why are we putting a disclaimer out on this? But essentially, whether it's a monster or not is up for debate. A 19th century, in other words, 1800 century rancher killed and mounted the wolf-like thing which had pestered local natives for generations. Now, it is owned today by, I don't know if it's a descendant of the family or somebody who bought it, but it is still out there, and it is a stuffed creature, but the owner refuses to have the Shunkawarakan, which means carries off dogs, he refuses to have it DNA tested, so what the monster is truly remains a mystery. Now, witnesses who got a look at this cryptid described it as being nearly black with high shoulders and a back that sloped down much like a hyena. And here's my issue for all of you cryptid hunters. And if you come across a cryptid that you think is actually a cryptid, let them test it, please. You know, how many times do you hear of a Bigfoot in a freezer? Or I've got the Loch Ness Monster, or I've got some type of cryptid. Oh no, you can't test it. So what does that do to the credibility of what you have? So apparently this is a real quote-unquote monster. It's stuffed and an owner has it, but he refuses to let anybody touch it and do any tests on it. So therefore, in my opinion, it's not real, although I'm not giving you my opinion. We're going to move to Nebraska, the Alkali Lake Monster. Now, some claim that the Alkali Lake Monster is a hoax invented to sell newspapers. But you can't help but feel the hoaxers got the tone just right. There's no magic here, just a combination of an alligator, a rhino, and a stench. Now, you roll up all of that, and then you have the Alkali Lake Monster. It is a cryptid that it's said to be 100 foot in length. Now, whatever it is, here's a play on words, it caused a big stink. The Alkali Lake Monster is described as a giant brown alligator with a rhinoceros horn on its nose and is said to be 40 to 100 feet long. It's quite a discrepancy. But again, that's what it is. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I want to so bad, but I'm not. I'm going to let you, especially you guys in Nebraska, tell me what you think about the Alkali Lake Monster. Let's go to Nevada, the Tahoe Tessie. Tales of Tahoe's answered and Nessie stretch back to legends told by the Washoe and Paiute. You might know the Paiute tribe because they were the tribe that killed the red-haired giants in Loveland Cave, I believe it was. And they've actually found burned arrows and skulls bones of very, very large humanoid beings. But these are legends told by these Native Americans, and they go back even farther. Others have speculated that rather than a monster, Tessie could be a plesiosaur, or a gigantic eel. Now, legend has it that this serpent-like monster, it lives in a cave beneath the lake. Now, there are sightings of this 80-foot-long serpent known as the Tahoe Tessie that continue to this day. Now, whether or not you believe it, there is a lot to be said about plesiosaur sightings around the world. People are seeing it. Does that mean it's real? That's where you decide. Number 29, New Hampshire, the Wood Devils, or the Wood Devils of Coos County. Now, according to legend, these Wood Devils are more likely to run at an incredible pace away from humans than to attack passing humans. However, locals are unnerved enough by these oversized cross between an evil spirit, a meerkat, and an alien. So, to get away from that evil conglomeration of cryptids, they have come up with this reassuring alternative. Maybe it's just a Sasquatch. Yeah, we don't like what we think it could be, so let's make it into something more gentle like Sasquatch. Now, according to eyewitness reports, these sleek wood devils are so good at blending in with their surroundings, You might actually walk into one before you saw it. Those who have claimed to see them have described them as being more than 7 feet tall and covered in grayish hair. I'm sure that doesn't sound like a Bigfoot. Ooh, New Jersey. New Jersey. For those of you who have listened to the show for a while, you remember my interview with Danielle, who lived in New Jersey at the time. She told us all about the Jersey Devil. The rumor, or the legend, is an 18th century mother, frustrated that she had fallen pregnant yet again. Okay, why are you frustrated? You know how you got pregnant. But she was frustrated that she'd fallen pregnant yet again. Cursed out loud that her unborn 13th child would be the devil. That was a big mistake. Although born human-like, the little guy, the legend says, soon mutated into the midwife-slaughtering, cattle-bothering demon that we know and love today. Upon the newly born child's sudden transformation, it grew a goat head, hooves, bat-like wings, and a barbed tail. Now listen, that is a great story. That's all it is. And I'm going to give you my opinion on this one, because this one stands out to me, because I'm not really saying there's not a Jersey Devil. What I'm saying is the story behind what the Jersey Devil is and how it became a thing is not real, but it may be an actual cryptid. Let me know what you think. I have a lot of listeners in Jersey. Tell me what you think. Have you been to the Pine Barrens? Good Lord. Have you been to the Pine Barrens and seen the Jersey Devil? Have you known anybody that has? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Tell me your story. New Mexico, the Territorns. What we've got here is another dinosaur that refuses to stay extinct. There's nothing too spooky about this airplane-sized predator, except the fact that it should have died out 6 million years ago and the fact that it's an airplane-sized predator. There's nothing scary about that. But witnesses describe the Territorn as having a wingspan spanning at least 20 feet. They have pink bald head with all black bodies and feathers covering their enormous wings. To be honest with you, that sounds like more of a Thunderbird. And again, a lot of these cryptids, we're going to run into the fact that they're the same cryptid, but in different parts of the country, they give them different names. So the Territrops, or whatever the hell they're called, what were they called here, Dreamer? Territorns, are they Thunderbirds? They could be. New York has Champ, or Champy. Now, centuries ago, the Abenaki and Iroquois people called the creature of Champlain Lake Tadoskak. They called him Tadoskak. Now, whether it's the same boat sinking, camera blurring, horned serpent that troubled the waters today, we can't be sure. But in 1819, Captain Crum of the ship Bowaga Bay saw a black monster that stretched 187 feet. Apparently, he got out with his tape measure and measured it. Now, according to him, the monster had a head like a seahorse, and the eyes were the color of peeled onions. It also had three teeth and a white star on its forehead. Listen, I'm not supposed to give my opinion. This is honestly breaking my cardinal rule, but three teeth, one in his mouth, two in his pocket, apparently, and a star on. Come on. I've seen, and I've done research on Champ. There's a possibility that Champ may be the Loch Ness Monster of America. This does it no justice. This description doesn't know justice. Trust me, the Champ that I know of does not have a star, and it has more than three teeth in its head. I'm sorry, just calling it out for what it is. New York residents, I have a ton of you. Champ, listen to the description I just gave you. Does that resemble the Champ you know? Because the Champ I know looks a lot like the Loch Ness Monster. And the Loch Ness Monster is not a redneck in New York with three teeth and a star on his head. I mean, maybe he got that star tattoo in jail. I don't know. Let's move to North Carolina. The Beast of Blandenborough. An angry cat that terrorizes dogs and attacks neighborhood wildlife may not sound that unusual, especially in my neck of the woods, because I have a cat by the name of Bob that is the badass, most badass cat you will ever see. Bob is, he should be a cougar. He is a small cougar. I love that cat because before we got Bob, we found him on the side of the road, negative 17 actual temperature in the morning. He was dying. My wife pulled over, picked him up. We saved him, and he's now the best cat in the world. Before that, we had mice all over. We have a shed in the background, or in the backyard. We had mice all over. That cat brings us rabbits, birds, mice, moles. He's in an argument in a territorial battle right now with the woodchuck. I'm not sure who's going to win that one. Bob might have met his match on that one. But there is, in North Carolina, an angry cat that terrorizes dogs and attacks neighborhood wildlife. Now, a lot of people say that's not that unusual until you consider the beast's action includes draining the blood of full-grown horses. Now, this has been happening since the 1950s, but it went cold. The trail of the Blandarboro went cold in 2003. Locals still keep their pets indoors overnight just in case. Residents have described the beast of Blandarboro as 4.5 feet long, bushy, and resembling a bear or a panther. It is said to make a sound like that of a crying baby, which is terrifying in itself. In Michigan here, I'm on a Facebook page that is basically just Michigan. Just strange things about Michigan. And we are finding that cougars and mountain lions are becoming more and more prevalent in this state. How do we not know that between, 1950s and the 1950s and 2003, there wasn't a pack of, 4.5 foot long bushy bears or panthers that cried like a baby? I don't know. How do you know? It hasn't been seen since 2003. North Carolina, I thought you'd have Bigfoot or something. Really. Something in the water like a megalodon. You give us the beast of Blandarboro. And I'm looking at the pictures that they painted to represent this thing, and kind of looks really cute. I am partial to cats, but this thing is really cute, and I don't see it as a beast. And I just talked about it a little bit ago. North Dakota, and I will agree with this one. North Dakota is, I don't want to call it barren because that makes it sound horrible, but there's not a lot going on. You have mountains, you have plateaus, you have expanses of land there's nothing there. But North Dakota, you have your cryptid as the Thunderbird, and I am loving the Thunderbird. Now, it is, as I said, it could be a cousin or it could be the same thing of New Mexico's Territorn. But the Thunderbird comes with an extra special power, and that is the ability to stir up storms and shoot lightning bolts from its wings, which is an absolute joke, according to me, which I'm reading from this article. Look, this bird doesn't do that. Thunderbirds ride the currents of thunderstorms coming in. That's when you see these large predatory birds. They come in and they ride on the winds and the currents of storms. Witnesses describe the Thunderbird as very colorful, with a lot of yellow and red tints. It has a very thick neck and has a reported wingspan of 12 feet. Now, a lot of you may think, 12 feet, that's not that bad. That's a big bird. That's a very big bird. That bird is big enough to carry an adult away. I am a big believer. Never seen one, but I'm a big believer in the Thunderbird. So, moving on to my neighbor in the south, Ohio. Now, in Ohio, they have a frogman. A frogman in Loveland. Now, Loveland, doesn't that sound sweet? It sounds magical. Now, before I continue this story, I want to let you know how I did this whole episode and the one before it. I glanced over. I got my notes, and I really didn't read my notes. I wrote them down, and that's how I do things. I write stuff down, and I'm really not focusing on what I do. And then I go back, and I do homework on it, really. Well, I really didn't do the homework on this one. And I love the description of this. Only in Ohio, and Ohio, aside from Ohio State, I love you guys. I really do. We got the Upper Peninsula. You got Toledo. Sorry about your luck. But in 1955, a man pulled over to help three human-like figures on the side of the road. These are human-like figures. They're not humans. They're human-like. He saw creatures of around 4 feet tall with webbed hands and green leathery skin. And then it gets better. Only in Ohio. They had frogs' faces. And the largest of them, get ready for this, the largest of them held a wand over its head, which was spitting sparks. Oh, Loveland frogmen. They loved the 4th of July. I'd love to know when in 1955 this guy pulled over. Now, if you are a gentleman in 1955 and you pull over and help for human-like creatures that are green-skinned and have frog faces, are you going to stick around? Or are you going to be like, yeah, I got to meet somebody. I got to go. Apparently, it's a thing. More than one people have saw the frog men of Loveland in Ohio. I can't make this up. I've done the research. This is Ohio's cryptid. At least on the Paranormal Patriot, the Frogmen of Loveland. Oklahoma has the Oklahoma octopus. It's pretty obvious that even the standard ocean-bound octopus is a space alien. I've said that many, many, many times. Octopi, they are not of this planet. Somehow they got to this planet and they thrived in the ocean. And they're aliens. I mean, that's the only thing you can say about octopi. But with that being said, the people of Oklahoma are wondering how horse-sized shark-toothed octopus came to live in the lakes Thunderbird, Olaga, and Tenkiller. Now, these are all human-made lakes and can't fall back on historic legend to excuse their mutant population. According to the rumor, this freshwater cephalopod, say that five times fast, is about the size of a horse and resembles an octopus with long tentacles and leathery reddish-brown skin. When we think of octopi, we think of the ocean. Well, apparently in Oklahoma, they live in three of the lakes in that state. Somebody should have caught them by now, but that's okay because octopi are cool and they're cute and they're really, really smart and scary smart. Oregon has one of the best names of a cryptid, Colossal Clawed. One onlooker said his head was like a camel's. His fur was coarse and gray. He had glassy eyes and a bent snout that he used to push a 20-pound halibut off our lines and into his mouth. Those same witnesses, now I think the listeners of this show would be in agreements. They can be forgiven for backing down from an attempt to hit the monster in the face with a boat oar. Other witnesses have described Colossal Clawed as being around 40 feet long with a big round body, a vicious-looking tail, and an evil snake-like head. Okay, in my opinion, and I know I'm not supposed to give them, but I'm going to give them it because I'm the host of the show. Sturgeon, snakehead. I mean, these snakehead fish can get really, really large. But really, I mean, it's more, again, of like a Loch Ness champ plesiosaur type animal. In Pennsylvania, again, I would think Bigfoot. Some type of, like, Kexburg alien type thing. But in Pennsylvania, they have the squonk. Yes, squonk. And this is less X-Files and more like Rick and Morty. This cryptid apparently has a miserable life because its superpower or its claim to fame is the ability to escape captivity by crying itself into a pool of water and dripping away. I mean, honestly, that's kind of like me after a night with my wife. Honestly, I just sit there and cry and I go away. Just telling you. According to witnesses, the squonk has a saggy... Boy, this is getting worse and worse. The squonk has a saggy, ill-fitted skin that's covered in warts. It's ashamed of its appearance and hence the tears. I don't know if I've ever been in Pennsylvania, but I might actually be the squonk. I don't know. I tend to cry and just melt away. And yeah, we won't even talk about the saggy, ill-fitting skin. Looking at the picture, yeah, I can see. Bears a striking resemblance to your host. Rhode Island. Oh, the vampire Mercy Brown. Now, when late 19th century, and again, when I say 19th century, I mean 1800. So it was late 1800s. Farmer George Brown's relatives kept dying without explanations. Locals decided to dig up their graves and investigate their bones. They discovered one of them, young Mercy Brown, was perfectly preserved. Never mind that she'd been dead only 2 months and was buried in the coldest winter. She was probably a vampire in their eyes. I, at one point, and listen, my favorite time of year, Halloween is coming up, and I'm going to be doing more of monsters, and I'm going to not just kind of gloss over them. I'm going to talk in detail about these monsters, vampires, werewolves, zombies, whatever you guys want to talk about. If you want to talk about a monster over the Halloween season, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net, and we will talk about it. But the vampire Mercy Brown was apparently a young woman who died and is coming back and terrorizing and killing relatives of the family. Now, that was, where was that? That was Rhode Island. Okay, that's not Massachusetts. Okay. We're not going to talk about that. Massachusetts, I think I've already gone over you. Why isn't it somebody from the Salem witch trials? I mean, listen, I'm infatuated with the Salem witch trials, and I'd love to do a show about that. If you'd like to hear a show about the Salem witch trials, again, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. South Carolina, the lizard man of Scape or Swamp. Now, this lizard man is a true horror movie material, and it's been in operation since the 1980s. According to legend, he'll leap on your car, and if you try to drive away, he grasps on and doesn't let go. Survivors can expect to find serious scratch marks on the hood if they manage to shake him off. Now, reports of what emerged from the lake described a green, wet, 7-foot-tall creature. Furthermore, it has 3 fingers, red eyes, and scales. Hell, that sounds like more of a frogman than the Loveland frog monster in Ohio. South Dakota, the Takuhi. I love tacos. Often to be seen in a coat and a top hat. Takuhi is not as civilized as he appears, and he has been sighted a dozen times since the 1970s. This hairy gentleman apparently had a thing for tearing the genitals from local cattle. The Takuhi has been spotted in mostly wide open areas, staring creepily at witnesses. It is usually dragging some sort of prey behind it. The Takuhi, I think we could honestly say it might be Jeffrey Epstein, Joe Biden, or Bill Clinton. Anybody in South Dakota want to collaborate or corroborate that? Joe Biden, Jeffrey Epstein, or Bill Clinton? Is that your cryptid, the Takuhi? Moving on to Tennessee. Tennessee has the Tennessee Wild Man, and honestly, he looks like he might be the twin brother of P.T. Barnum's Wild Man, and it is a fierce and untamable creature. That is according to the New York Times on February 8th, 1889. Listen, the news back in the 1800s was much better than it is now because it's news. It's genuine reporting. That is, it's fierce and it's untamable. When's the last time you heard something about that? The only thing you hear on the news today is Donald Trump's a racist. Donald Trump is horrible. Anyway, a perfect shower of stones greeted one man's attempts to strike up conversation with this wild man. Apparently, the wild man prefers the company of women who he has tried to occasionally carry away. I don't even consider that thing wild anymore. Tennessee wild man is supposedly he either has dark gray or dark ginger hair. It has been described as stout, about 7 to 9 feet tall, with red beady eyes, a set of claws, and a horrible stink. Why the women aren't just clamoring for the Tennessee wild man is beyond me. Ladies of Tennessee, help the wild man out. Oh, we're going to move on to Texas. Moving on to Texas with the elusive, world-renowned Chupacabra.
I've thought so many times about doing a show on the Chupacabra, and I just can't do it. Now, the Chupacabra, or the goat sucker, made its name by leaving a trail of animal corpse in its wake. DNA tests have variously revealed the attacker to be a dog, coyote, or a raccoon. Now, this beast, known as Chupacabra, has no hair and needle-like fangs. It is said to have a large set of red eyes and rows of spines down its back and bat-like wings. Now, every picture I have seen fails to put in the large red eyes, the row of spines, and bat-like wings. They don't have them. What you're seeing is a coyote, a raccoon, a dog with mange, and it has no hair. And, you know, I've never had mange, but I'm assuming, well, I have lost my hair, so yeah, I'm a little bitter about it. So I'm assuming any dog, coyote, or raccoon that loses his hair is going to be a little bitter about it. Hence the Chupacabra. In Utah, we had the Bear Lake Monster. Now, here is an excellent opportunity for some company to bust Barnum on a dicker for the monster if they can only catch one. That is from Joseph C. Rich in 1868, as a lake monster craze gripped Rich County. Again, late 1800s, they knew how to write. Here it is again. Here is an excellent opportunity for some company to bust Barnum on a dicker for the monster, if they can only catch one. Now, to all my journalists out there, use the word dicker in your article. Guaranteed, you use the word dicker, and you will have a Pulitzer Prize-rated article. But regardless, in 1868, Joseph C. Rich noted a monster craze gripping Rich County. That's a lake monster craze. But unfortunately, as of today, no one has managed to catch the Bear Lake Monster, and the prize money remains as valuable as the monster itself, which is nil. No value at all. One thing's for sure, the Bear Lake Monster is huge, and it looks like a crocodile with a jaw similar to an extinct carnivorous aquatic lizard. Again, we could be talking Loch Ness Monster type beast. We could be talking the freaking guy from Star Wars. Who knows? Let's move. We've got five more. Vermont. Oh, God, I love this Seinfeld episode. Vermont, you have one of the best cryptids out there, whether or not it exists or not. Vermont has the Northfield Pigman. What happened to Sam Harris? Sightings of the previous unseen pigman shortly after the teenager's disappearance on the Halloween of 1951, it just conjures two alternatives. Either young Harris transformed into a pigman, or a pre-existing pigman ate him because Sam Harris disappeared. So why not just give two alternatives? Two drop-dead, no other alternative why he is missing. He either turned into a pigman or was ate by a pigman. This is life in Vermont. Whatever happened to Sam, years after his disappearance, some high school students reported a monster emerging from the woods. It walked like a man, but was covered in white fur and had a pig's face. So let's automatically attribute it to Sam Harris. Sam, I don't know if you're out there, if you can hear me, but I'm sorry. You know, I don't think you're a pig man. But you know what? Again, the Seinfeld episode was amazing. Oh, Virginia. It was amazing. Virginia the Snollygaster. It sounds like an English cryptid, the Snollygaster. You've got a Snollygaster. Despite having far more terrifying features than any self-respecting monster actually needs, the Snollygaster remains popular three centuries after it was first spotted. It even has a guest role in the Harry Potter universe, so therefore it is absolutely a true cryptid. Now, early settlers, they told tales of a demonic bird-like creature with a metallic beak filled with teeth. In 1909, locals reported seeing a bird-like monster with enormous wings, a long pointed bill, claws like steel hooks, and an eye in the center of its forehead. God, they had me until the eye in the center of his forehead. Anyway, you could be talking about a Thunderbird, but Thunderbirds have two eyes. So the Snollygasta, whatever it is. Okay, go ahead. Washington, thank you. You know, Washington right now, God bless you, Washington. You are in the midst of absolute chaos right now in Seattle. Your governor is an absolute wreck. But what you have going for you is you have one of the most renowned cryptids in the world as your state cryptid, and that is the one and only Bigfoot. It is perhaps the only monster to have its own sitcom. Bigfoot's fame can be traced back hundreds of years to Native American legend, and he still makes guest appearances in the woods today. I mean, this is a celebrity. He should be on red carpets across the world, but yet he chooses to hide out in the woods. So be it. He wants his privacy. Some witnesses have found strange footprints, 14 inches long and 8 inches wide. I mean, honestly, Shaquille O'Neal walking through the woods is going to give you a bigger footprint. But they say it only has 4 toes in the snow. Now, funny fact, my sister and sometimes myself, our little pinky finger is kind of set up a little high on our foot. My sister's all the time. Mine, if I kind of work at it, I can get it down. But my sister, if she walks in the sand or walks barefoot in the snow, she only has 4 toes. She has 5, but only 4 of them are showing. Myself, if I work on it, if I actually make it a point of pushing down on my little toe, I will have 5. But most of the time, I only have 4. I guess I could be a cryptid. Maybe I should be Michigan's cryptid. I don't know. Anyway, Washington has Bigfoot. We all know about Bigfoot. Let's move on. West Virginia, you have one of the best, and that is Mothman. Mothman, he showed up in the 1960s at Point Pleasant. And the Mothman is giving warnings about future events. According to journalist John Keel, he showed up to investigate sightings of the Mothman in the 1960s and soon began to receive messages from the Moth people. Lost me. Just absolutely lost me right there, John. Anyway, the Moth people, including a warning about a regional blackout that was about to occur. When that moment came, though the lights stayed on, so theoretically it's not a blackout, maybe, but a bridge in Point Pleasant collapsed, killing 46 people. In 1966, 2 couples reported sightings of the Mothman. It was described as a 6 to 7 foot tall humanoid with huge wings and red eyes in the center of its headless body. That's not the Mothman. Sorry, these people were in the back of a car parking and didn't want to get caught, so they described a being that doesn't exist. Listen, I really, truly believe the Mothman exists. I have done extensive shows about the Mothman of Chicago. Maybe Illinois should have the Mothman as their cryptid. Oh, Wisconsin, I love this cryptid. Wisconsin has the Beast of Bray Road. Now, the Beast of Bray Road is essentially a werewolf-like creature, and a spate of werewolf sightings around Elkhorn in the early 90s caught the attention of the national press. The national press has almost, in a way, an enamored relationship with the Beast of Bray Road. I believe her name, Linda, what is her last name? Linda Godfrey has done extensive research on the Beast of Bray Road and is thoroughly convinced that this beast actually lives. It's just like the Dog Man in Michigan. There are, in my opinion, you can call them werewolves, you can call them shapeshifters. Something is being seen in Wisconsin and in Michigan. Oh, is this our last one, really? Oh, it is. Let's go to Wyoming. Oh, and we're going to end it with the jackalope. Wyoming has the jackalope. The true explanation for the existence of horned rabbits. Now, when I say horned rabbits, I kind of pains me to say this, but the horns are actually cancerous tumors. And they may be scientifically satisfying to satisfy what a jackalope is. It still doesn't account for the fact that these terrifying but tragic creatures can apparently sing along with human songs. And they're usually tenors, by the way. You heard me right. That's all I can say. Cowboys have reported that while they were singing around the campfire, a distant jackalope joined in the chorus. Why they're not on Broadway, why they weren't in Hamilton is beyond me, but jackalopes. Wyoming, nice job ending the list, the jackalope. Those are the 50 cryptids in each state that I have researched and found the most sightings, most interesting. It's your cryptid. You own it, each state. Now, contact me and let me know what you think your cryptid should be. I hope you enjoyed this little segment. It's been fun to do. I've had fun with it. There's a lot of cryptids out there that I'm just like, nope, not going to happen. There are some that I really truly believe in. What we have to realize, and this is one of the points I had when doing this show, what we have to realize is we know nothing about the world we live in. There are dimensions, there are spectrums. You know, we can only see a certain spectrum of light. There are multiple other spectrums that creatures live in and interact in a way with us. Sometimes they come into our spectrum, I guess. I have really, really, truly enjoyed doing this paranormal segment of the show. And for those of you that listen for only the paranormal, I do want to thank you for your patience and, you know, your love of this show. I do get a lot of people, I listen to it for the paranormal, but I enjoy your political views or I hate your political views, whatever. But you're listening. Now, I'm in a dilemma. I've got Halloween coming up, which means I have to talk to paranormal because this is my favorite time of year. But we also have a presidential election that is really, truly going to change the course of history of this country. So you're going to see a mixture. You may see one show or two shows or all shows where half of it's paranormal and half of it's political. You may not believe with what I spew and what I say politically, but what I ask is just open your mind. And that doesn't mean just for politics. It means for the paranormal. I have people that listen to this show just for the political aspects of it, and they have no desire to listen to anything I say paranormally. I have a segment of my listenership that when that first segment ended, they're done listening because they don't want to listen to the paranormal because they don't believe in the paranormal. I'm going to tell you right now, the paranormal exists. But that doesn't mean I just completely ignore the political. Listen, we are really, this is important. This is hugely, bigly, as Donald Trump would say, important. I'm not going to candy coat where my values lie, and that's on the conservative side. So you can put me in one category, and you can listen to this show for the paranormal, and as we come up to Halloween, there's more and more paranormal, and I have great plans for the paranormal this year, but I can't disregard politics. This is, honestly, a make-it-or-break-it time in American history. So, wherever you lean, left, right, you believe in the paranormal, you don't believe in the paranormal, just continue to listen to the show. I love doing these shows, and I love my listeners. Contact me now that I have a phone that's working. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Like the Facebook page. If you like the Facebook page, you can get a hold of me on my Messenger. And honestly, emails or Messenger are the best way to contact me. Jay Miles, I can't thank you enough. I know you may be listening eventually. You know, you like to binge listen to the show. But Jay Miles, I had a great conversation with him last night. And I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life. I've got 2020 has been a shit year. And I know it's been a shit year for everybody, but, you know, I lost out on my Mexico trip. My wife's health has gone to shit. I had a hole in my pool. My pool pump has gone down. I no longer have a refrigerator because my refrigerator broke over the 4th of July. And you can't get a new refrigerator the size I need. My stove broke. Let's see what else. My phone just broke. We know that. And now my mom has a recurrence of her cancer, so they think. And it's just been ridiculous. This year cannot get over soon enough. But you know what? We just got to persevere. Get through it. And thank you for the good. I mean, continue to pray. Continue to send me good vibes for my wife. She is struggling. But man, she is the strongest woman I know. But anyway, Jay Miles from Vanishing Gates called me the other night. And I have never met Jay Miles in person. But we talk like we have known each other for our whole lives. It's just you have those connections with some people. And I have that with Jay Miles where we can talk about anything. And we can talk for hours on end. And Jay, if you're listening, thank you. Thank you for just talking to me and getting me through all the stress and all the... I'm at the end of my rope, but Jay has elongated that rope. He's made that rope longer. Sean, I'm sorry I didn't get back with you. It wasn't my fault. It was my stupid phone's fault. I will continue to contact you. Please continue to send me show ideas, not only Sean, but Brandon, anybody listening to these shows. Let me know what you want to hear. I want to talk about what you, the listener, wants to hear about. Because this is a listener-supported and listener-derived show. It is. If it wasn't for you guys, this show would be nothing. So thank you for listening this week. I truly enjoyed it. I'll be back next week. It's going to be interesting what I'm going to talk about next week, but... You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I truly hope you enjoyed the show this week. I will be back next week. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. Taking off the tinfoil hat. I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. And share the show. Go to the Facebook page. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll talk to you next week. I've loved you before, 'cause I don't care.